Another tepid jobs report says the nation has a long way to go to recovery.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The number of people last week who filed for unemployment benefits for the first time fell by 12,000. But the total number is still above that 400,000 level, which means the job market is very, very sluggish right now. Diane Swank is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. She says there aren't very many solutions to the unemployment problem.
What we're looking at is ways to sort of temper the pain that we're feeling and allow, when we're treading water, to keep our head above water. Extended payrolls, extended unemployment insurance. It doesn't generate a lot of jobs, but it keeps us from sinking through the water. We're not going to see much more than that. Everything's on the margins, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of wiggle room anymore.
Now, the Labor Department's big August employment report comes out tomorrow. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed. I don't know what to do with the news today. The Dow is off just a tad, down 6 points at 11,606. The NASDAQ is flat. Same for the S&P 500 for the most part. Auto sales last month, Japanese car makers took a big hit. And Chrysler just reported just moments ago, its sales jumped 31% for the month. GM reported an 18% gain. Well, this might sound like a story from before the financial crisis. Ratings agency Standard & Poor's is giving higher ratings, AAA ratings, to securities backed by subprime home loans. This after S&P lowered the U.S. credit rating, citing debt and political issues. Zeke Fox is reporting the story for Bloomberg News, and he joins us now from New York. Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
I'm getting some flashbacks here, Zeke. Subprime bundles with AAA ratings. This sounds like something that happened right before the financial crisis.
People think that all this stopped after the financial crisis, but in fact, banks are still packaging together loans and selling them to investors and paying for ratings, just like before, but on a much smaller scale.
What kind of loans are we talking about here?
These loans are to homeowners across the country with bad credit scores and who owe, I think on average, 97% of the value of their homes. So it doesn't leave much margin for error.
So how do the ratings agencies justify what they say about these loans? I mean, especially in the wake of the downgrade to the U.S. credit rating.
The idea is that through careful mathematical calculations, a portion of anything can be made AAA. But the people that we talked to thought that this was, frankly, laughable since U.S. debt is viewed as a risk-free benchmark. But it seems that the market didn't put much stock in the downgrade. They're buying up the lower-rated Treasury bonds, and these higher-rated mortgage bonds are having to pay much more interest than Treasury bonds, suggesting that investors think they're riskier, even though the rating says the opposite.
Do these folks, these rating agencies, do they have any credence? Do people really believe what they have to say anymore?
Yeah, and I think that the decision to downgrade the U.S. has brought more pressure from the government to do that. But on the other hand, it's very difficult for people to evaluate complicated investments like this, and they depend on the rating agencies to look at them.
So we're stuck with these ratings, right? I mean, we really can't do anything about it.
With the Dodd-Frank Act was designed to cut reliance on ratings. It said that regulators should try to strip any reference to ratings from rules about what investments banks can hold, what funds can buy. But regulators are having difficulty finding an alternative, so they haven't changed any of the rules yet.
Zeke Fox is a reporter for Bloomberg. And Zeke, I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896, AllianzUSA.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Spanish lawmakers vote tomorrow on a new constitutional amendment that would force the country to reduce its deficit and debt. But Christopher Worth reports controlling spending in Spain will depend on what happens at the local level in the country's 17 political regions.
Spain's regions are a bit like states in the U.S. They draft their own budgets and make their own spending decisions. But when they spend too much, Spain's national government ends up footing the bill. Gonzalo Gomez Bengoechea is an economist at IESE Business School in Madrid.
And this is one of the biggest problems that we have in Spain, because there is actually no control over that part of the expenditure.
Take this gleaming new airport outside the small city of Ciudad Real in the hot, arid region of Castilla-La Mancha. It's one of Spain's several so-called ghost airports, built at a cost of over $1.5 billion. The hope was it would become a bustling travel hub serving Madrid, 140 miles away. Today, I walk through an empty terminal.
So I'm looking at the arrivals board here, and it's not even turned on. It's completely dead here.
Just a couple of flights go in and out of Ciudad Real each week. Even those flights are due to end in October. And the only thing keeping the project afloat is money from local taxpayers like Daniel Guzman.
I'm disappointed because they've taken our money and spent it on an airport for a city of just 70,000 people. There was no need for such a big airport.
Regional governments across Spain have racked up over $165 billion in debt. Economist Gomez Bengoechea.
The government may ask them to reduce the spending, but they can't force them to reduce the spending.
Ratings agency Moody's has threatened a downgrade over Spain's regional deficit problem. Edward Hugh, an economist based in Barcelona, says regional spending will derail Spain's plan to drastically reduce its national deficit.
And the problem really is that the deficit was the only thing in the eyes of investors that the Spanish government had to put on the table to show we are a serious country.
That is, serious about not defaulting on its debts and avoiding a bailout from its European neighbors. In Spain, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Finally, you'd think Apple employees would have learned to just leave the iPhone prototype at the office. Last year, a group of workers reportedly went out to a Silicon Valley bar and left an iPhone 4 prototype behind. Well, CNET reports there was a frantic effort just a month ago to find a special iPhone 5 that was left at a tequila lounge in San Francisco. The owner of the bar says he remembers a man calling repeatedly about leaving a phone there. He tells CNET, quote, "I guess I have to make my drinks a little less strong." I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Green jobs and alternative energy are hot investments. Climate change? Not really.
Climate adaptation is looking out 25, 50 years into the future. It's just not seen as a high priority in a lot of places.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Coastal cities investing in climate change now or paying later. We'll have the day's business news as well and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.